Chicago sports conversation is now.
15, 10, 5, touchdown.
Weinberg might be out of here.
The Beat on 720 WGN.
Well, I think we just woke everybody up here. Good afternoon. Welcome to the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour. We are live from RJ's Eatery in Lindenhurst. We're presented by Allstate. That's right. Clap your hands. Chicago's own good hands. I'm Mark Carmody. Terry Tynowitz. He's Adam Hogue. Quite a venue here.
How are your ears?
That was significant, but I was, you know, it was a little rainy and drizzly today, so it was good to be woken up here as we got our speakers rolling at beautiful RJ's Eatery. I think and this place is huge. I think we just woke up the whole neighborhood, but that's cool. We're under control now. Great to see you guys. Great to be here with you. We are not rained out. We did not call it and then have beautiful weather and the ability to play baseball today. What happened, Kerry? You had Cubs tickets today. You
had
people in your seats. They were excited to go to the Cub game. There was no rain, and now they got to go to a game in the middle of July.
First of all, it saves the Brewers a loss. I believe it was soup from yesterday. I think that they should have put a halt to that game yesterday a long time before they did. I mean, Kyle Schwarber was like water skiing on the infield yesterday. They should have halted that game and gone back and played it. So I think yesterday screwed up today.
Yeah, it was the rain's fault for that incredibly not good play by Kyle Schwarber.
You know who's the most...
What was the shortstop doing on that play, by the way?
Apparently,
he ran to the foul line.
Well, apparently Javi Baez was called off by a oncoming Kyle Schwarber.
That's fine, but when he got called off, he was nowhere near where the ball was.
Well, we had a significant amount of rain. It was windy. Marlene, we're doing a radio show right now. James is beautiful. Adam's got to stay focused. He can't have the family all shaking hands right now. Do you understand what we're trying to keep the station afloat? Marlene's walking around with Adam's kid going high fives. I can't have Hoke distracted right now. We're just starting the show. What's going on here? This is a professional outfit.
I get 3 hours to be away from him right now. Yeah.
It's good to see your family, though.
Oh, you're all about being a dad.
By the way, how great is this place? We're overlooking a lake. It's beautiful. Unfortunately, the weather's not great today. Did not cooperate, but
I'm actually thinking about moving into the neighborhood. This is beautiful. They got a volleyball court out here. Is that what they call it? Volleyball sand beach situational? I'd like to play. I know today's not the play, but, you know, live out here in Lindenhurst. Chill out at RJ's Eatery all the time.
I've already been in the lake twice today. Well, for you youngsters out there, you know, the outfielder has the right to call off the infielder. Easier play for the outfielder.
That's true.
Coming in.
That's true. It was a long run, though.
And Schwarber made the greatest play of his career earlier in that game. I know that he went over the wall against the Yankees, but the catch he made yesterday
overrated.
Saved a run.
Overrated.
Didn't How do you say that?
American League player.
Because he barely had to move for it. He took like three steps and dove. It wasn't. If he had run across half the outfield, dove and made the play, then I'd say that was perhaps better than when he went over the wall. But they went so crazy, web gem. It was okay. It was a nice play, but he didn't have to go very far for it. I want to see that guy actually on the move and make a great play in the outfield. That would make me feel better.
So you don't judge it by degree of difficulty. You just judge it by size.
I judge it by degree of difficulty, but if you don't have to run very far, that lowers the degree of difficulty, doesn't it?
But it's a much harder play than if you have to go into left center or to the foul line, and you've got tons of time to get there. I mean, he had just a moment to get to that ball yesterday.
It was a quick reaction. I will grant you that. Very true. Very true. I will also just put out there that I love Kyle Schwarber. I want him to do well. I'm starting to question whether or not he can actually play in the National League, and I did not.
I've been telling you that for how long?
Yeah,
but you know what?
And I disagree.
White Sox moved on. You don't want to give him up. You want to leave him in the National League. White Sox went out and got Luis Robert today, so you can keep Kyle.
$30 million, 19-year-old. This is the international signing draft big time move here by the White Sox on their rebuild. We have a ton to do on the show today. Paul Sullivan's going to be here at 5:05 for some more baseball talk. But Adam Hogue is unbelievable to me. Our own Adam Hogue, WGN Radio's Bears reporter, sniffed out the Bears draft before they made it. And Dan Wiederer had a piece in the Chicago Tribune. And Ryan Pace is quoted as saying that he read something somewhere about the Bears were being too quiet around Mitch Trubisky. And Adam Hoge was the guy who said that. And if you remember, and I'm sure you do, the Bears gave up three draft picks to move up one spot because Ryan Pace was paranoid. And I'd like you to explain yourself right now because you are part of his paranoia.
Well, I feel like you're accusing me of something here.
Oh, I'm not.
You're blaming me.
No, I'm accusing you of being right.
Oh, okay.
You could have called Pace, though. I'd be like, look, I'm going to write this unless you don't want me to, and then we can have a special piece after the draft. Don't you guys do stuff like that? You could have been on the internet. I'm going to say this. Would I be wrong? Do you want me to hold this? Like, go all Woodward and Bernstein with Ryan Pace. Harry, don't you think I'm onto something here?
Yeah, I did that once with Kenny Williams. He's like, Harry, you know I'm working here, right?
Look, I did say multiple times before the draft that I thought that it did not make sense to me that there was no connection at all with Mitch Trubisky. It was extremely suspicious to me. And on the flip side, I thought that the very obvious interest in Deshaun Watson was suspicious too.
You sniffed out Pace.
But I didn't go all in. I almost did. I almost went all in the week of the draft and put Mitch Trubisky in that final mock draft, and I didn't do it.
Well, you didn't.
So I don't want to take the credit.
Well, here, let's listen just for namesake of what Adam Hoge said on intentional grounding with his partner Adam Johns, which is a must listen for all Bears fans. This was before the draft, ladies and gentlemen.
There is one guy, and I've hinted at this in the past, that if the Bears were to take a quarterback at number three, there's one guy where, for my own evaluation, I can say, all right, I'm not sure I would have done that, but I can see where the talent is. And if the Bears can justify it from their own evaluation, then I can understand it. And that guy's Mitchell Trubisky.
If I had to rank him, I know I don't do the rankings like you do, but from what I'm hearing from around the league and things like that, Mitchell Trubisky might be the top quarterback on a lot of teams' draft boards this year.
And quickly on the Bears again, I find it interesting that there's been like no connection there.
The connections aren't as loud and as prominent as they are with Watson and Patrick Mahomes, but I think they're out there, at least in the NFL gossipy world.
Yeah, if they're really looking at the quarterback, the way the Bears operate, I kind of wonder if the fact that he's not being talked about like Kaiser and Mahomes and Watson in connection to the Bears, if he might actually be the guy.
You nailed it. You had it.
That was 8 days before the draft.
He had it, man. You danced with the devil and you won. I don't really know if that's what you did, but that's what I want to say.
I guessed correctly.
That wasn't a guess. That was an educated knowing the Bears. I've been around them forever.
Well, to be honest, it was a little bit of that because I do believe that John Fox and Ryan Pace have established the Bears as one of the more secretive organizations in the NFL right now. And I, from day one, and I was consistent about this, day one at the Clemson Pro Day, when the entire organization rolls up in an Escalade, and John Fox is talking to Dabo Sweeney the entire time in front of the cameras, it's on NFL Network. I think it might have been on ESPN, too. It was all over the place. I'm going, there's no way that this is, that they're really interested in Watson to this level. Smokescreen all the way.
We'll have to figure out exactly, to what degree Hoge hurt the Bears two or three seasons from now.
We're right. He definitely
caused. That's the thing. You're blaming me for the draft picks.
Well, I think that you were part of his paranoia.
They could have gotten Trubisky third if you don't have to do such a good show with Adam Johns. And Johns, I talked to him. He was up for coasting that day. But you had to get in depth and actually analyze the draft.
Right, right. I mean, I talked to him, too. He's like, look, man, if you want to go there, you're probably going to cost the Bears at least a draft pick if you do this. And you were like, screw it, I'm all in. I thought that was rude. But the reason why we're bringing this up, by the way, again, Dan Wiederer has a great piece in the Chicago Tribune detailing the whole process with the Bears. I actually want to bring up one and how they went out and saw Trubisky and had him book a reservation at a restaurant and tell absolutely no one, including all his Carolina coaches. He put it under James McMahon, which is a brilliant move, and they went to some Bin 54, great spot, I guess, where you eat the steaks. This part bothers me, though. I'm reading, over dinner, Loggins and Rigone, the Bears' offensive coordinator, and what Dave Ragone's with the quarterback's coach, they push for a sense of Trubisky's football acumen. Though with Fox in his endearing and lively social state, the coordinator and quarterback's coach had to find openings in the conversation. Five-on-one with Foxy can be hard. He's the life of the party. You'll be sitting there like, okay, Foxy's starting to feel it. Coach, stop talking. We need Mitchell to talk. Harry, I don't want to put you on blast here, but that sounds like a guy who's going out to dinner at Bin 54. The red wine's flowing, they're all, and he's getting drunk, and he's trying to be the life of the party.
Hold on. Before you bring up the D word, he's just enjoying himself. Well, and Trubisky said he felt more pressure in choosing the restaurant and having good dinner conversation than he did in some of the games.
I don't know, man. Five-on-one Foxy KBR, he's the life of the party. Sounds like the guy's having a hell of a time there. That's just me reading it.
Yeah,
like,
he probably was.
Settle down, Foxy.
Hey.
I think that's better than like the questions that was that the Jaguars that were asking Blake Bortles coming out of college, like about his girlfriend, you know, like, hey, you know, if you come to town, I'm trying to think. He went to the Jaguars. I'm trying to think what team it was. Said, hey, if you come to town, we can go out with you and your girlfriend. Like, they were asking him these personal questions.
That's inappropriate.
They wanted to see how he would react to something inappropriate.
Look. That sounds exactly like John Fox to me.
Yeah, and listen, I don't know if he's drinking or not, but like life of the party guy, like, hey man, you're interviewing Mitchell Trubisky. These guys are trying to get some knowledge. You're not the show. Hey, take a little back seat.
Foxy's always the show.
Foxy's, is he really? Because I feel like Fox is not the show. He's certainly not an interesting show.
Not to the media,
right? The Fox you and I see isn't the Fox that the Bears see.
That is not. That's, yeah, that's okay. Maybe there's a whole different Fox. Hey,
do you think he challenged the wine?
I think he did. If I had to bet, I think he did. But I don't know that, so I probably shouldn't be saying that. Hey, make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago. That's 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. Yours, I made a little national news yesterday, guys.
I know.
Aren't you proud of me?
I am proud of you.
Okay, we're going to play a little soundbite from Drew Brees that got some love around the country. As I got to talk to him, threw out a Colin Kaepernick question. He answered it. We'll do that next, 720 WGN. Today's WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour. We're live from RJ's Eatery in Lindenhurst. We're presented by Allstate. And the Allstate agent, Priscilla Callens, come on out to RJ's Eatery. We'd love to see you as we're here till 7 o'clock. All right.
They threw us a shower, too.
I mean, there is something going on. What is going on here? Is it what, bridal shower?
It's for you.
Oh, it's for me.
Yeah.
I'm getting married?
You're getting married. Congratulations.
Baby shower.
Ah, I'm having a baby.
You're also having a kid.
All right. Congratulations to you. You look beautiful.
You're not even showing.
Not in the least. All right. Blaine Gabbert signed last week with the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes.
Okay. And then this week, our latest signing, Ryan Fitzpatrick inks with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Ryan Fitzpatrick had 12 touchdowns and 17 interceptions last year. Blaine Gabbert had 5 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. I don't want to boil it all down to this. Colin Kaepernick threw 16 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions. Is he being blackballed, Harry Adam?
Yes, he absolutely is.
You think he is?
Yeah, absolutely. Not by everybody. I think there are probably some teams that would sign him, but maybe don't have the needs.
Is that really the expression you want to use in this case?
That's the expression. That's what it's called. I don't care if he's a person of color. It's not. What would you prefer that I say?
Is he being unfairly passed over?
Okay, fine.
Which,
fine.
You know, if the answer is still yes.
Yeah. Hey, Colin Kaepernick just wanted to start the conversation, which he did. You know, I think it's a country. You know, we love our military, and there's probably better ways to endear yourself to football teams than refusing to stand during the national anthem and to fans as well.
How about raising millions of dollars for charity? How about donating suits to people that are just on parole, helping them getting jobs? How about winning the Teammate Courage Award, whatever they call it out there in San Francisco by his teammates, right?
How about the rushing yards Kaepernick picked
Great.
Up last year? Another
Great.
Thing that's not being appreciated here.
There's no question that there are quarterbacks currently signed and ones that have signed this offseason who are worse at playing quarterback in the NFL than Colin Kaepernick is. And
the Bears signed one.
It is my informed opinion that there are definitely owners in the league that are not happy with what he did last year. And
right.
And don't want anything to do with him.
Right, exactly. So let's call it what it is. You're willing to do that. Harry, are you willing?
He's not willing. He's not willing to use that word.
I think for sure his actions are hurting him now. He would be on an NFL roster if it weren't for the fact that he wanted to start a conversation last year, which yeah. I give him credit for starting. I just think you have to know right now the mood of the country is the last thing they want to see from an NFL athlete, especially a team leader, is taking a knee. Okay. During national anthem.
Well, there's a lot of, let's just be honest, there's a lot of old, white, rich guys that own NFL
oh, yeah.
teams.
I think that's redundant.
And they seem to be the most sensitive to what he, I'm not saying them specifically, but, you know, those are the people that seem to be most upset with what he did, which was ultimately harmless.
And you could argue helpful, bringing awareness, and a lot of guys
absolutely.
Around the NFL joined him, and there was different ways that it went about it. Seattle locked arms, which is, he is linked actually to the Seahawks being a backup to Russell Wilson. Reason why I bring up, I got to talk to Drew Brees this week, who was doing a media tour, so I talked to Brees, and I asked him, do you think Colin Kaepernick is being blackballed?
No, I mean, he's certainly good enough. You know, I don't know. I don't think that it's a situation where he's being blackballed. I think that if I'm sure that there's been offers made to him, you know, and it's just a matter of him choosing the right opportunity. You know, for him, he's still a young player who still has potentially a long career ahead of him. So I know for any guy in that situation, especially the quarterback position, I think you're not just looking to go somewhere for short term. You know, you're looking for, hey, what's my long term, you know, home or team, you know, and what system fits me the best, what team and environment, city fits me the best in my family. And, you know, so there's a lot to think about there. It's not just as simple as, you know, where do I go for a year just to kind of buy some time. You know, I think that, you know, for a guy like him, certainly I know the position I would take is, you know, what puts me in the best position to be successful, and where can I help the team the most, and what system fits me the best.
Well, New Orleans then would not be the spot for him, but if they came to say, hey, Colin's coming here for a year to be a backup, but no disrespect to anybody, of course, who's already in your locker room, would that work for the Saints and yourself?
Well, listen, whatever decisions our team makes, those are in the best interest of the team. So if that was the case, then, yeah, I'd embrace it.
So there you go. He brought in some...
I don't know how much he really knows about what's going on there, but I mean, he basically said he thinks that Kaepernick's had offers.
Right. Which I don't believe that. Do you?
I mean, no one's reported that.
There's nothing that has been reported. No proof that anyone has reached out to him.
Yeah. So right. He's looking at it like this guy's got to have offers. Look at what he's done in his career. He's a Super Bowl champion. He went to the Super Bowl. I'm confused.
They lost in the Super Bowl to the Ravens.
They lost to the Ravens, right.
Yeah, the lights went out.
So he had a very credible year last year. Now the 49ers didn't win any games, so maybe that plays against him.
He was not bad last year.
But he wasn't bad.
And he was better than his teammate, Blaine Gabbert, who got a contract.
He also would take. He would jump at a one-year contract.
Well, see, that's the thing. Some people don't believe that. I think he would. Like, if you told him, hey, Colin, we'll give you $2 million to back up Jameis Winston or whoever, I would think he would do it. But people think that he's waiting out to be a starter. He's got to be smarter than that. He's got to know, I'm not getting a starting gig. I mean, that's plain and
simple.
And
I'm not sure he should get a starting gig.
Yeah, and
like, I don't think he's that great of a quarterback. I think he's certainly good enough that he should be on a team.
Right, no one's saying he should be a starter.
Right. I totally agree. I'm not saying he should be a starter either. He should be on a roster.
Look, I'm not. Maybe he is being picky. That's the part I don't know.
Right.
Maybe he is being picky. Maybe he is looking for. But there has been no. I don't know anything about him being offered contracts and turning them down.
Right.
And if that's happened, I would think his camp would want to get that out there.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Athletes bet on themselves all the time. Athletes take smaller contracts than they've ever had because they believe in themselves, and they go play for a year and they have a fantastic year. And, you know, it's also a position where there's a lot of injuries. Some quarterback is going to get hurt. Maybe multiple quarterbacks will get hurt before the season starts, and that's where Kaepernick could maybe take advantage.
312-981-7200. We can take phone calls if you want to jump on. And we will talk some baseball coming up after 4:30. Ian Happ is staying with the Cubs. What does that mean for the roster? And perhaps what will it mean come the trade deadline? I got a little bit of an angle on that. See what you guys think.
Ooh, an angle.
Oh, slight angle. Paul Sullivan from the Tribune with us at 510 at 720 WGN. It's the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour live from RJ's Eatery in Lindenhurst. We're presented by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz, and he is Adam Hogue. We are joined right now. We'll get to the Cubs talk in a second here. Priscilla Callens has been an Allstate agency owner for 14 years in her office where you want to go visit her and just hang out. That's what I do. It's located at 1486 Main Street in Antioch, Illinois. And Priscilla is with us today, along with a special person. Julia Kearney is here as well. Thank you for joining us and having us out today, Priscilla. Great to be with you.
Thanks for having us, Mark. We appreciate it.
So you are working with the Open Arms Mission, donating here $1,000 to Helping Hands in the Community. It's a huge grant to this organization. Why was this so much on your heart? And it's great to see Julia here today.
We have been supporting Open Arms Mission for a long time. Actually, was introduced to them by my office manager, Debbie Porter. And, you know, so we've been giving grants and doing volunteering and just participating in their different programs that they have, that they do over the holidays, like the Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners. I mean, there's just there's a lot of need out there for people who are food insecure, which, you know, unfortunately means they go to bed at night and they don't know where their meal's coming from tomorrow. Yeah. So, you know, we want to make sure that those families are taken care of.
What was the, was there one reason why it became so important to you that you work with this specific charity?
Well, I was a single mom for a while, you know, and now I'm fortunate to be bonus mom to three and mom to two with my husband Steve, and you know, it's hard, and there's a lot of people who are just kind of one paycheck away from being in trouble. So those folks really need our support, and I'm grateful that that isn't our situation, but I certainly want to benefit those who need our help.
And with Priscilla, Julia Kearney from the Open Arms Mission. So there's no contribution that wouldn't be significant. Someone could donate $500 or someone could donate $20, right? And you still would find good use for the money.
Correct. For every dollar that you donate, we can buy 8 pounds of food. So their donation of $1,000, we bought 8,000 pounds of food.
Wow. How do you determine where the food goes, Julia?
The clients have signed up, and they come in and tell us what they want. We fill their boxes, and so they get pretty much what they asked for.
Could you use some volunteers, perhaps?
We can always use volunteers. Always.
Priscilla, give us a little bit of history on your background working as an Allstate agent and how you got involved.
I was fortunate. I'm kind of an Allstate baby. My dad worked there 35 years. I worked there at corporate 10 years in technology, and was fortunate once to meet a group of agents, and they talked about what they did. And so for the first time, I figured out what I wanted to be when I grew up. You know, that was 14 years ago. So.
You're second generation Allstate.
Second generation Allstate,
so
that's for sure.
So people are in really, really good hands if they call you. Now, we're in National Motorcycle Awareness Month, right? So
absolutely.
Do you have some tips for people? I know one. I know always wear a helmet. You probably know more than that.
Good job, Harry.
Thanks.
Yeah, I really, really hate seeing people driving down the roads on their motorcycles without some type of protective clothing, you know, T-shirt and shorts, not really what you should be wearing. You need head protection. There are no small motorcycle accidents. You come off of an accident like that, and something's going to hurt for a long time. So, you know, it's important that motorcyclists protect themselves with the proper gear. It's also important that drivers of cars recognize that they're out there. It is a little frightening sometimes. I'm sure we've all seen it when cars are tailgating them or, you know, crossing in front of motorcycles and not giving them the same courtesy of every other car on the road.
Did you go see the Chips movie? Were you happy with the way they were safe on their motorcycles?
I haven't had the privilege of seeing that movie yet, but I will put that on my list.
Harry watches a lot of movies, Priscilla. It's one of his many talents. Mm-hmm. What type of insurance do people tend to need but they don't have because they don't want to pay for it and then they wish that they did after the fact?
I would say that, you know, people become most upset if they don't have, and certainly the weather today would speak to that, water backup for their houses. Make sure you talk to your agent. If you don't have an agent that you talk to, you can talk to me. But, you know, it's for every customer out there, make sure that you've got the proper protections, especially on your home, and make sure that you've got great liability on your auto policy. If you do get into that accident, you want to make sure that it's the insurance company that's protecting you and it's not coming out of pocket.
So, Julia, when you're on your motorcycle, do you always wear a helmet?
Always.
Good girl.
Always.
And could you share with us, please, for people that want to go online and make a contribution for the Open Arms Mission, could you share that information for the website?
Absolutely.
Please?
They can always call our agency, and we're happy to connect them, or they can go to openarmsmission.org. So that's openarmsmission.org. I think a lot of people would be surprised to learn that we also at the mission, they supply things like toiletries, you know, even paper products. You know, it's drop off a big box of toilet paper one day and you know, I mean, that you'll help people. It's very simple to give, and we're happy to take donations at our office if the mission isn't open at the time, or, you know, they can go two doors down from where we're located and drop it off directly.
And again, the location of your office is 1486 Main Street in Antioch, and the phone number is 847-495-9100, 847-495-9100. So anybody up here in Lake County,
get involved. Yeah. Step it up.
That's right.
It's always appreciated.
It's very noble of you. It's very, very, you know, a lot of people say it, but you're actually doing it. You're walking the walk, not just talking the talk.
We do what we can. I'm privileged to work with so many amazing Allstate agents. We were inspired by another agent in the western suburbs, Chuck Suda. He had a group of agents get together with all of our grants, and we all worked at the Northern Illinois Food Pantry a month ago. Boxed up an insane amount of food for people. I know that the mission works with the Northern Illinois Food Pantry as well, and so it inspired me to do my own group event. So I've got about 10 agents and Allstate personnel coming, and we're going to do an event at the end of June at the mission, and altogether that should raise about $10,000 additional for them. So we're excited.
Well, thanks for being here today, and Julie, thanks for all you do at Open Arms Mission, and Priscilla, thanks for having us out and for leading the cause here. So we appreciate you jumping on WGN.
Yeah, it'll
My
be a $1,000 Helping Hands in the Community grant to the Open Arms Mission. And we even got the big check.
We got the big
present,
check.
So we'll be doing
check.
That.
Okay.
And I'm sure we'll have photos on the website at WGNRadio.com.
Wow, there it is, the big check.
Love the big check.
Can't see it on the radio, but trust me, I'm looking at a big check. I've never seen. It's very rare that I'm that close to a big check.
You've got to get a big ATM to put that big check in.
You do. It's hard to direct deposit that.
Great talking to you guys. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, quick timeout at 720 WGN. WGN, today's WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour. We are live from RJ's Eatery in Lindenhurst. It's presented by Allstate agent Priscilla Callens, who we just spoke to just now. Our phone number at WGN is 312-981-7200. The Chicago Cubs called out their own rainout today, as they could have played, as it turned out.
Yeah, it turned out to be nice.
But
you know what, though? It's Chicago. I've gotten over the getting frustrated or angry at the way the weather delays are handled. It is not easy to figure out what is going on in Chicago in April and May.
It's a no-win situation. I grant you that.
And look, the bottom line is, even if they could have gotten the game in today, it's ugly outside. No one wants to be sitting in the stadium. Move the game to July.
See, but
it's sunny out. And it'll be great.
I'm a little conflicted. I got a good friend in town today from Austin, Texas. He's got a whole crew with him. They were excited to go to the game. It's a weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, but you can't base it on it. But I'll tell you this. If Eddie Butler doesn't give up six runs, or rather only three, and he's giving up three hits, two runs, two runs, five walks, three strikeouts yesterday, and taxing the bullpen with Mike Montgomery coming on, I wonder if the Cubs would have bung the game. I think they almost did it. I'm not even kidding.
They did it for the bullpen?
I think they might have.
You know, Eddie Butler was totally different than his first start in St. Louis. He was very concise with his pitching. He did a great job. He lasted into the seventh inning, and then yesterday he walked about 42 guys.
Said he had trouble locating or gripping the baseball, couldn't find the strike zone. Guys were telling him after the game, hey, your stuff's good enough, just put it right down the middle, let it eat right there. I don't know if guys always tell everybody that when you go out and you walk five guys in three innings, but I was expecting a decent performance yesterday from the guy after he pitched well in Colorado, but they didn't get it. So still searching for that fifth starter,
Colorado,
right?
Thank you. Yeah, they are, and Montgomery might end up being the fifth starter. But I thought Wilson Contreras showed me a lot yesterday. He kept going out there to talk to Butler. He was very invested in Eddie Butler's success.
I love Wilson Contreras.
I'm getting a little annoyed with Wilson Contreras.
Why?
He's out at the mound nonstop. He's got
that's a bigger thing that I have a problem with. I think you should be limited to one visit to the pitcher an inning. I
mean, what?
An inning.
What?
And
it's
if he can't figure it out, then it adds to the strategy, Harry. You have to pick your moment to go out there. You can't stop the game every minute. It drives me crazy.
Let me be clear here. I love Wilson Contreras. I love his energy. I love that he hustles down first, like basically no one else in the game. And me busted every time. I think he's got a bright future. Stop going out to the mound so much. I mean, really.
It's not like he wants to go out to the mound all the time. He goes out there when he feels it's significant. So are you guys also like over these other rules, like 12th inning, you want to start with the man on second base?
No, that's why, Harry, that's why I'm bringing practical, and we talked about this a couple months ago. My ideas, I think, are very practical and doable. Starting with, you get one visit to the mound per pitcher. I'm talking about coaches. Coaches, one visit to the mound per pitcher. So whether that's your starter that goes six innings or that's your...
That's insanity.
Why is it insanity?
Because
if a pitcher can't figure it out, coach...
Because you can't... Look, you never know what the situation is going to be. You can go over 100 different scenarios, but a lot of times...
In other sports, you have to call timeout to talk to your players, okay? There are no timeouts in baseball, and so there's just unlimited access to go stop the game whenever you want, and then these games turn into five-hour marathons. You get one visit per pitcher. Your players on the field get one visit per inning. That's it.
I think
play the game. The pitcher needs to be smart enough and good enough to figure it out. And if he's not, then it's going to show up in the results.
Let's flip it the other way, Harry. Should he be able to go out? How often should he be able to go out there? Can he go every pitch? I want to go talk to you again.
I think if you go out there a second time in an inning, the pitcher's got to come out. But I don't think.
No, but we're talking about
the
catcher. The catcher can go endlessly right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you were to make a rule on it.
If I were to make a rule, you know, if you want to put something on there, you could put something on there like maybe three times. But
we almost lost Harry.
Harry's leaning back in his chair and it nearly toppled
good
over.
Good thing I'm insured by Allstate.
I mean, that was a strong athletic move to recover there. Good job.
I didn't know I had it in me.
I mean, that would have been phenomenal if you went down. No disrespect. That would have been fantastic. It would have been great radio, and everybody here would have loved it at RJ's Eatery. If you're trying to, was that the motivation? Did you want to entertain Priscilla? And I mean, they're still here.
I'm always about entertaining. Look, the intentional walk rule, I like it, okay? Instead of throwing four bad ones to the screen because one out of every 150 pitches will be a wild pitch. So I'm happy that they, you know, sped up the game by putting in that rule. But you want to be able to communicate with your pitcher. That's the nature of baseball. It's the nature of the game of baseball. You have already sped up the intentional walk. You've already sped up the time between innings. There's now a shot clock or a pitch clock that exists in every Major League Baseball stadium. I don't think you have to constantly keep changing every rule.
That's why I don't think it's a big change, though. I think it adds to the strategy of the game.
Just listen, he's got a lot of anxiety back there as a first full-time catcher in the league. I think if I was Joe Maddon or whoever is talking to Wilson Contreras all the time, I would tell him to trust himself back there. You don't need to go out and talk all the time. It's okay. Your pitchers, by the way, don't want you out there either. You look at the reaction when they come out there. John Lackey wants to kill him. I mean, he really does. Get back behind home plate right now. What are you doing here again? I mean, I've seen those guys react that way a bunch of times.
Eddie Butler was happy he was coming
out. Well, of course he was, because he's Eddie Butler, and it's his second start in the big leagues, at least with the Cubs. Forget how many starts he had with the Rockies, whatever. So he's not going to be a jerk to Wilson Contreras. But the seasoned veterans, hey, buddy, I got my gig. You got your gig. We don't need to talk all the time. I mean, you want to? Should we have a break in the show right now and have a conversation on what we're going to say? Come on. I mean, I understand it's different, but come on. Here's the other thing. Ian Happ is staying. Let's talk about what's going on in with the team.
There Love you Ian go. Happ.
Ian Happ.
He's one of my five favorite Ians.
Yeah? Who are the other four?
Oh, come on.
Ian's Pizza.
Ian's Pizza, I have not had the pleasure.
Oh, it's a Madison institution.
Existed on
Clark Street for a little bit. I think it might be gone now. I don't know. I don't go to Wrigleyville that often.
Let me just give you a little.
Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull, first of all.
Okay. Let me just give you one.
We'll get the other three by the end of the show.
Hashtag Ian's. It could carry the show, actually. We might want to stick with that. But we'll get back to it in a minute. I just want to give you this Ian Happ knowledge, which anybody could have by looking up Ian Happ's numbers, but I didn't realize this myself. He started last year in high A, okay?
Yep.
He played 65 games at double A. That's nothing. I mean, very little. And then he had a great spring, so they launched him up to triple A, where he played in 26 games.
He was crushing it.
He was, but he wasn't because he got hurt, and then he started hitting again, and then they brought him up out of need, and now he's doing well here.
But other than the injury, Tarm, from the moment spring training started, and I saw him down there in Arizona in person, he was, I mean, he just looked impressive. He looked ready to play.
He, correct me if I'm wrong, he was the best hitter on the Cubs in spring training?
I mean, I don't know if the stats are specifically say that. I think they do. But, I mean, he was, I do know from the start to finish in spring training, he was probably the most consistent guy. And he was getting a ton of at-bats because he was one of the younger, you know, still one of the minor leaguer guys.
I'm high on Ian Happ. I'm just bringing it up that, look, he in double A last year, he had .262 with an on-base percentage of .318. That normally doesn't get you promoted. He played in the fall league last year. He had .236 with an on-base of .375. And in Iowa, he was doing good, but he wasn't killing.
Are you saying that they should?
I'm just saying.
You're saying he should go back down to Iowa?
I'm not saying that right now. I'm just saying that I think a lot of Cub fans are just sold that Ian Happ is going to continue to perform at the level he's performing right now.
Oh, okay.
And I'm saying, looking at his numbers, just solely looking at his numbers, I think that there's well room here for somebody who's going to have some struggles here at 22 years old trying to figure it out, just based on how little he played at double A and minimal at triple A. So, I mean, it's really a quick leap for him to be up here doing this.
Isn't there, like, an added significance that he's the first player ever drafted by Theo and Jet? Doesn't that, like, give him some extra, like, cred?
Wasn't he 2015?
He wasn't the first player picked by Theo and Jet.
Yeah, first player by Theo.
For before first player Bryant? By Theo and Jed. Before, that can't be right.
Yeah, that's
really.
Yeah, player that they drafted. Bryant was before them, right?
Bryant was no, but they drafted Chris Bryant, Theo and company. They took him number two overall.
Yeah. Let's double check.
I think we might have caught you in one here, Harry. It never ever happens.
Yeah, Ian Happ was in the 2015 baseball draft. We almost lost Harry again. I mean, he could not believe that I was giving him 2015 there. He was the Cubs' first round selection in 2015 MLB draft.
And he was drafted after Schwarber. I mean, Schwarber was 14, I believe. So he wasn't the first one, but he was a first round draft pick. And they're super high on him. And and Joe Maddon is going to find a position for him. But here, well, after four. I just want to talk about what this means, because I think if you're going to play this guy, it is going to have an impact on either Almora or Schwarber.
Well, you were already struggling to get all these guys on the field.
Right. So I mean,
and now you're adding another guy to the and you still don't have pitchers.
Right. So I think there's a big fallout, little it's going to be a lot of waves if Ian Happ is actually here right now and what that means. I see I saw you, Mike, you wanted to talk White Sox. Apologize we didn't get to you there. It's a great day to be a Sox fan. Don't worry, we got Sox Talk coming up with a big acquisition today. That's after 4 o'clock as well. 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
720 WGN. We are on our Hometown Voices tour, live from RJ's Eatery in Lindenhurst, presented by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands. He's Adam Hoge. He's Harry Tynowitz. I'm Mark Carmen. Please do bring in the esteemed baseball writer, voice, all that of your Chicago Tribune, Paul Sullivan, hashtag Sully, joining us on the program right now. Sully, I think the Cubs called this game today because their bullpen wasn't ready to go. Am I?
Whoa. Sully covers both teams in this town, and there's one story that's way bigger than one tiny, teensy little Cubs game getting rained out, Carm.
I was going to get
Luis
to your...
Robert signed, and that's where this interview is going to start.
Okay, fine, but Sully was at Wrigley today, I'm
Matt,
sure.
Don't care.
Okay, fine. Go ahead.
I was actually going to start by asking about Don Mattingly, but you guys go ahead and start with Sox.
Sully, welcome.
I would definitely say that Luis Robert would not have called this game off.
See?
This is my guess, since it has not rained it in the north side.
Tell me, we'll get to Luis. And okay, fine. I'm gonna defer to Hoge. Who is Luis Robert? Is he worth $25 million? Do you know anything about him? I know that he's 19 years old and he plays the outfield and he's part of the White Sox rebuild now.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen him, obviously. He plays in Cuba, but from all the scouts' verdict, he's the real deal. Got some power, got a lot of speed. He's 6'3". He's got a great athletic body. I mean, I think this is a really big deal for the White Sox. Probably, you know, depending on who they get for Quintana when they deal him, they could move up to number one in among the top farm systems in baseball. So when you think about where they were just a couple years ago, it's really an amazing climb.
Apparently they had a Rick Renteria video and a Yoán Moncada video that might have sold Luis Robert home.
Yeah.
So now they're doing
well. Sully, I don't know how much you know. I mean, there's been a lot of reports out there already today in terms of, because this came down. It sounds like it came down to the Cardinals and the White Sox, right? And some have reported the Cardinals offered more money. Obviously, the White Sox have created a nice little pipeline here with Cuban players. And how much do you know about what it really came down to and why he ultimately picked Chicago over St. Louis?
I have no idea, to tell you the truth. The White Sox haven't even confirmed it yet. He hasn't talked. So it would just be speculation at this point. But definitely having Abreu and Moncada, I'm sure that helped a lot. I mean, in the whole Manny Minoso legacy that the White Sox have created. It usually does come down to money, so I'd be surprised if they were outbid by a lot and still got him. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see how that turns out. But definitely I think, you know, having the Cuban connection there helped. You know, maybe he thinks he can get ahead in the White Sox a lot quicker than he could with the Cardinals, which, you know, judging from the past, I think is probably accurate.
And he's got the same agent as Abreu, so that definitely helps. Sully, always a pleasure. You know,
hey, Harry. How are you,
trade,
dude?
How are you, man? Talk to me on an emotional level. You know, Quintana the other night only gave up one hit, and he is so fantastic. Do you believe that – we all know he's going to go by the trading deadline. Do you believe Rick Hahn will wait to the trading deadline, or you think, like, some team is going to get very nervous and make an incredible offer – prior to that July 31st deadline?
I don't know if we know that, Harry. Let's see what Sully says to that one, but I don't know if we know that. Let's see what Sully says.
If some team will make an incredible offer before then, I mean, you know, you never know. It all kind of depends on who's in the race and, you know, what other pitchers are out there. I wrote, I don't know, about a week or 2 weeks ago that it looked like Yu Darvish would be, you know, one of the pitchers being on the trade market because he's going to be a free agent. Texas sucked, and all of a sudden Texas wins 10 in a row, and, you know, they're back in it. So, it's you know, it looks unlikely that he'll be there. So it kind of depends on who else is out there. But right now you'd have to say that Quintana figures to be the best available pitcher in this year's trade market. And if that's the case, then the White Sox would be crazy not to wait and, you know, see how many bidders they can get for him and drive up the price. I mean, that's the whole point of doing waiting until the trade deadline. They could have easily traded him in the off season, but they didn't think that the trading partners were giving up enough. So, you know, I guess, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But certainly with last night's effort, I think proves that he really is, you know, he's had a few bumps this year, but he still is a very quality pitcher.
I mean, so to Harry's point, Sully, do you think the Sox take the best deal, whatever's out there at the deadline, or maybe they don't like what they're seeing, they wait until the offseason again because they still have 3 years of control with him?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I can't say what they're going to be offered, but I would think that it would, you know, if you're at a trade deadline thing, you're going to have a lot of teams that are, even teams that are around 500 that think they're still in the race. And now that you have the Yankees, you know, obviously in it, the Astros were looking for pitching and they were real interested in Quintana in the offseason. So I think there'll be plenty of bidders. So I would think it'd probably be in their best interest if they're going to trade him to do it this year or at the trade deadline.
And I think it's got to help, too, that Rickon went through this last year with Chris Sale. So he probably has a good idea of how the market is going to play out, you know, having lived it last year. In terms of other trade pieces, Sully, that the White Sox might have, what is realistic right now with what's
not
on
much.
This roster in terms of what they can actually get something good for?
Well, definitely Robertson's pitching well. So I think I still can't believe he's not on the Nationals. I mean, that team is dying for a closer. They've got a great team, and it'd be really crazy if they, you know, blew another World Series chance because they didn't have a closer. So I think they'll probably be really aggressive trying to pull that one off. You know, Frazier, I don't know. He's, you know, he's going to be a free agent, and he's really not having a great year. So that might be a hard sell. Melky. You know, not having a great year, not a very good defensive player. You know, I don't think they're going to trade Abreu, especially now that if they got Robert, then, you know, they'd want to keep him there just to kind of mentor him a little bit. So I don't know what else. I mean, Shields is hurt.
What about Avi Garcia?
Avi, I think they could get something for him, and I – even mentioned, I think, maybe a couple weeks ago that if they're going to trade him, I mean, he's probably as hot as he's ever going to get. But they seem to like his progress, and I think that they'll, you know, he's pretty young and he's not really getting paid a whole lot, so I think they'll probably hang on to him at least for another year.
Let's talk about the world champions here. As I'm going to,
you can finally talk weather now.
I want to. Well, I'm starting to get worried that I might not be able to say this at this time next year, even though because I do look at this year, Sully, as part two of the three-peat, but I'm a little bit getting a little nervous at least. Kyle Schwarber got dropped out of the leadoff hole today. Do you think that Joe Maddon is about to finally give in here and just maybe do leadoff roulette per se? Because that's kind of what I'm sensing.
I don't know. I don't know if you heard his press conference today, but his reasoning was that now that Hap is here and seems to be staying for a while, he can use Zobrist up in the one hole now that he's got Hap to you know, be in the five hole and protect Rizzo. So, you know, I don't know if that's the perfect that's going to happen the rest of the year, but definitely Zobrist seems to be a guy that can lead off. And so we'll see how that goes. I thought it was interesting that they did it now. And of course, the game was rained out without any rain. So, you know, we don't know how it would turn out. But I don't know. Zobrist's a good leadoff guy. And I think it's going to take a lot of pressure off of Schwarber because, you know, I'm sure he's getting tired of having to hear from people telling him that he's not a leadoff man.
So you're saying that Schwarber's out of the – is that the news here, that Schwarber's not going to be leading off much at all now?
No, we don't know. He said he's going to see how this goes.
Okay.
And he wouldn't commit to anything. You know, Joe, he's always got different lineups, but I think it says something that he finally – took him out after all the people crying about it the last week.
I was a crier. I was a legit crier.
I'm not saying people should have cried. I'm saying there was a lot of crying and moaning,
no doubt,
especially for a guy that everyone loves, you know.
Sully, Jake Arrieta has set the bar so high for himself. He has been spectacular on the Hill. Do you believe what he's going through now is a slump and he'll get back to where he was? Or is it just too hard to maintain the level that Arrieta had been at for a couple seasons?
Well, I don't think he'll get back to that level he was at a couple years ago. I mean, that was, you know, the Bob Gibson numbers and all that. But he still shouldn't be this bad. He definitely should be in the twos, his ERA. It's up to a five-something now, which is really unbecoming of him. It seems like the one – he doesn't give up a lot of hits, but when he does, it's usually a home run, a big home run. So I think that's what's hurting him the most. We've seen him, you know, improve over the years and really become a dominant pitcher. And it's really kind of strange to see this because it's not – usually back before he got good, his problem was he was walking people all the time. And now he doesn't seem to be walking people, but he is leaving some balls out over the plate. So hopefully he can fix it, him and Bazio, and turn things around because, you know, this is a big year for him. He's looking for one of those Max Scherzer-type contracts and I don't know how he's going to get it if he doesn't, you know, get going quickly.
He does need to show something, although the money's probably still going to be there, but not right to the Max Scherzer level.
Yeah.
Tommy Lestella's
We said Samardzija wasn't going to get any money. Remember,
right,
he had that terrible year with the Sox, and, you know, he got $90 million. So he'll get a lot of money. There's no doubt about that. It's just how much money is he going to get?
Yeah, he'll be able to live that. I'm fairly confident. Tommy Lestella's going down. Pierce Johnson is going back down. Dylan Floro is up. Jason Hayward is back.
All right, Sully, Javi Baez was the man in the NLCS last year. As good a defensive infielder as there has been in baseball, really since he started playing.
He was the man in the World Baseball Classic two months ago.
The tag was spectacular on Molina's throat on the second.
He had a great Thursday.
Should I
worry if I'm a Javi Baez fan? Should I worry that he is not going to be playing as much, starting as much because of Ian Happ being here now?
Harry, I would never advise you not to worry because, you know, that's just part of your being. But as far as Javi goes, you know, it's the middle of May. He's not, like, hitting 100 or anything. He's not having as good a season as you would have projected after his playoff performance. But, you know, I wouldn't be that worried about him. I think he's a real talent. And, you know, just give him some more bats. And, you know, if he's still like this in a couple months, then, okay, maybe be worried. But at this point, I wouldn't.
So of Ian Happ, Javi, I'll throw Kyle Schwarber in there, but I know it's not going to be him. When the Cubs go to add pitching at the deadline here, Sully, I'm assuming they'll do something. Who do you think goes? I mean, is it going to be just minor league prospects? Is it going to be your Candelarios? And, maybe they would trade somebody higher up. I don't think they would trade Eloy Jimenez, but maybe they would. Or do you think it would be somebody that actually Cub fans have seen at Wrigley?
It depends on who they go for. But, you know, if you want to use Darvish or someone like that or Quintana, it doesn't look like the Sox are going to deal Quintana to the Cubs. But for someone of that caliber, they're going to have to almost give up someone like Happ or a Baez. It sounds like Schwarber's an untouchable. But I just don't see him giving up either of those guys. Happ is just really seems to be everything they look for in a player as far as, you know, presence and, you know, his on-base percentage. He takes walks. He's got power. He's, you know, he's an all-around good player. And Baez, they just love him from what he did last year. So I would say Jimenez and maybe even Dylan Cease, although he's probably their best pitching prospect that they've had since they've come over to the Cubs. So that might be a long shot, but those two guys are certainly going to be asked for in any deal for a name player, a name pitcher especially.
It'll be interesting what they do. Sully, you're the best. We always love talking to you. Thanks for jumping on. Apologize that you had to go to work at Wrigley today and didn't get to see a game. I hope the Cubs issue an official apology to you and the other beat writers for that matter.
We had a good time. Don't worry about us.
I know. It's like now we're talking about hitting scoreboards and wind patterns and all sorts of stuff's going on. So you guys,
there's always something to write about, believe me.
Well done. Thanks, Sully. Appreciate you.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Paul Sullivan of your Chicago Tribune.
Thanks, Sully. Terrific.
So, coming up, Harry, in about 23 minutes, it's going to be the Preakness, buddy. Are you going to make people some money when we come back here and try to get whoever can make a last-minute horse bet? Because I know Hoag wants something.
I need to know who the third horse is.
Absolutely. The third horse today would be me. Well, you and Karma are 1-2.
All right, we're going to figure out Harry's Preakness pick.
Which one of us is always dreaming?
It's a 5:45 post time, right, Harry?
5:45, they break from the gate.
Yeah, okay. Preakness coming up. 10 horses staring down a track. Harry Tynowitz is Mr. Horse. Been going to Arlington Park, Hawthorne, wherever else since you were, what, 5 years old?
Yes. I thought every five-year-old could read a racing form. Did you guys know that the Preakness run at Pimlico? Did you know Pimlico is the second oldest track in the world?
I did.
In North America, sorry.
Did you know that the Preakness actually started 1 year later than the Kentucky Derby?
I find that hard to believe.
It's a true story, Harry. I was reading about it today. I was trying to get my horse racing on so I could keep up with you. That's about as much as I learned, so I'm a little behind, but I did learn that.
You did a great job of learning. Saratoga's the only track, for the three of you out there that were wondering, Saratoga's the one that's older than Pimlico.
I was wondering.
Well, I'm glad that you were wondering. You're a curious mind.
Multiplier, cloud computing, hence, always dreaming the favorite coming out of the four hole, four slot, four what?
Yeah, you could say
all those things.
The four posts.
Okay.
Four hole is also
four
acceptable.
Four hole. Classic. Guy. Adam, you know this stuff?
Yes.
Really? Oh, I am getting a look
it's,
like
it's
I'm,
almost. It's almost as if we didn't do an entire Kentucky Derby show last year.
I mean, we did, but
with
like
Rokan.
I just thought you were on for the ride. Like I didn't know you were like horse racing. When's the last time you've been to the track?
Last year at Arlington.
Okay, take it back.
But we used to go to Arlington every year when I was a kid.
Really?
For Mother's Day. It was like
it's great.
The whole family would go, huh?
It's one of the most beautiful tracks in the world.
That's good parenting.
It's family. it's fun. It's great.
I was placing the bets. I was five, just going up to the window.
We used to go in high school. I'd go with some of my degenerate friends, and they would gamble, and I would bet like $2. But I always liked the food at Arlington. Solid food.
That's why I go. No.
But, Harry, here's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Because I think it's going to be a two-horse race between Always Dreaming and Classic Empire.
Uh-huh.
First of all, do you agree with that or not?
I think that there's a very strong chance that those two horses run 1-2. Okay. I think if you're looking for a third horse, like a long shot, a little price to make your exotic wagering come up big, I think the bottom horse is where you want to go.
Conquest Mo Money?
Conquest Mo Money, because he is the son of Uncle Mo, one of the best sires out there. 5 career starts. He's got 3 wins and 2 seconds.
What about looking at Lee? Lee was right in there in the Derby.
Oh, right? Looking at Lee ran a big race in the Kentucky Derby. Classic Empire had a bunch of Derby trouble. For him, it was more a demolition derby than a Kentucky Derby.
That's why I like him to win this race.
You're certainly going to get a better price than Always Dreaming. I like Always Dreaming to come right back. The horse had an awesome run at Gulfstream in the Florida Derby, and then he won very easily, about as easily as you can win Kentucky
Derby. But had a perfect trip.
He had a perfect trip. Things went great for him.
That's why I think things will even out a little bit between Always Dreaming and Classic Empire, because Classic Empire got bumped. Mm-hmm. Awful trip. Still closed hard to finish in fourth. I think it'll even out, but I don't know if he has enough to win.
See, I think it's great. I love the sport of horse racing, sport of kings, and if you have Always Dreaming win, you get 3 more weeks of horse racing conversation.
Yes.
If Classic Empire wins, the conversation stops.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to be able to talk about the possibility of another Triple Crown winner, and how cool would that be if we just had a Triple Crown winner a couple years ago after waiting forever. So now we could get another one right away. That'd be great. Well, John Velasquez is already in the Hall of Fame, the jockey, and Todd Pletcher, the trainer, is already in the Hall of Fame. So I like Always Dreaming right back. And if you want a long shot, Conquest Mo Money.
We'll do a little more horse racing talk because I now know that Adam Hogue is crushing his horse racing talk after the 5:30 news. And, hey, Scott, I see you out there. You want to talk Wilson Contreras? We can do that coming back here as well. The Midwestern University Multispecialty Clinic in Downers Grove offers a comprehensive patient-centered healthcare experience at their family medicine clinic, speech-language institute, physical therapy institute, dental institute, and eye institute. The clinics, you'll receive quality care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. Learn more at mwuclinics.com. Call 630-743-4500, the Midwestern University Clinic, your family's home for health care. Quick timeout news right up, 720 WGN.
Now the race is on, and here comes pride up the backstretch. Heartaches are going to the inside. My tears are holding back. They're trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running. True love stretched for another's sake. The race is on, and it looks like heartaches. And the winner loses all.
Is this a horse racing song?
I like it.
I don't know it, but I like it.
I mean, I feel like going back to my roots.
That's the great George Jones.
The great George Jones, Bob Kessler.
The great George Jones, yeah.
How did you know that, Bob Kessler? Did you request this tune?
No, I didn't. I would have. Why not? I mean, nothing not to like with George Jones.
I mean, it's just rare that you jump on the program, Bob, and then you know
George Jones.
Of the horse race. Who doesn't know George Jones?
I
don't know George Jones.
I know Caldwell Jones.
There was a guy who worked here, mentored me early on, named Dick Sutliff. He was an overnight news anchor. And he used to play that a lot when he would write the morning news for Tom Peterson, who was news director for many years here. Somehow agreed to put me on the air. And they would listen to that song. Like, that's when they would start their shift together.
Bob,
that's how.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Can I hang around with you for like a week and just get to know you and what you do? You're
sure.
One of the most interesting people I know.
Well, now you're just pumping up my ego. But that's nice.
Yes,
to say.
A little bit. But I mean, you just have different things going on over there in Kessler Land. I want to know what Kessler Land is.
Actually,
I'd like to follow
world.
Everybody around the radio station for a week.
Everybody?
Well, sure. I'd like Aubrey Mumpower. What does he do? I'd love to. That'd be fascinating.
That would be fascinating.
That would be fascinating.
Nobody knows who that
I'm
is, but like, it's somebody who works at WGN.
Longtime engineer.
Right. I mean, we work with a lot of very eclectic folk.
There you go.
All right. Well,
will you teach me how to dance?
Who was the artist again? Bob Jones?
George Jones.
George Jones.
Bob Jones is my friend who went to Iowa. That's why I got him on the show. All right, George Jones. Thanks, Bob.
All right, I want dancing lessons.
No. it's been a rough week.
Yeah, you have had a tough week of public losses.
Humiliation.
It's not humiliation. It's just you win some, you lose some.
Take us back to Saturday night. What happened?
Saturday night, I literally spent all day Saturday working on my dance steps. And then I got out there on the floor, and things were going well. And then I looked to my right, and I was expecting Brittany to be there, and I was just a little bit ahead of her, and I just lost my way, and then
completely out of rhythm,
and she had to kind of slide me over in a position. The video, by the way, is I don't know, I have it up on my Facebook page. It's doing very well, and also WGN Radio's Facebook page too.
Yeah, I think therein lies the problem, Adam, that Carm spent all day Saturday, whereas the fireman that won was spending weeks
on his
routine.
Yes.
That's fine, but I still
you did not have the commitment of David Ross.
I didn't.
In Dancing with the Stars.
I didn't, and I paid. And, Mary Vanderbilt graciously gave me a 9 when everybody else was throwing out 8s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
8?
8 is the low. The judges were given 8, 9, and 10, so 8 was the
generous
lowest.
Generous judges.
You're lucky no one turned a 9 paddle upside down.
That's true. And then Wednesday night was out at the UIC Pavilion representing the show. Myself and Brooke Weisbrod against Bill Leff and Kelly Kroll.
Tough matchup.
We went down 3-0. We went up 4-3. We were up.
Nice. Great comeback. Way to persevere. It's a lesson for you youngsters out there.
We were up 5-4. I was serving for the set.
Blew it.
That and a couple missed overheads. Not that you ever throw your partner under the bus. And I love Brooke. I think we're going to play some tournaments. But we didn't get it done in that game, and then we ended up losing 7-6. So that was super painful. And dancing and tennis in 1 week?
In one week.
Not that you ever throw your partner under the bus. Yeah.
I missed a million shots before. We wouldn't have been down 3-0 if I was playing any remotely
confidence,
okay.
The confidence is so low that you didn't even show up today to play against me in tennis.
Well, I texted you this morning and said we got a little rain issue.
If you're going to call the Cubs out for the rain out, for an unnecessary rain out, I mean, you got to call yourself out. I mean, unnecessary rain out at the tennis court today.
See, and that's I was thinking, Hogue wants to play him in tennis now because he saw I lost. He's like, this is it.
I'm going to kill him.
I'm going to take him down. You do need a dry court to play tennis. We could not have played tennis today.
I know.
So, thank you.
So, what's next? You tried dancing.
I actually had, and then Thursday night, if we're talking about my life right now, I had the time of my life at the Real Estate Rumble, which was realtors, 10 different bouts, getting in the ring to fight for...
Houses?
They were raising money for Big Brothers Big Sisters.
Isn't it hard to throw a left hook with that yellow jacket on?
So they were up. They got up in the gear, right? And it was intense. I mean, these dudes were... going for it all. The highlight match, though, there was a 5'0" Debbie who was 50 years old and had threw her first punch 3 weeks ago, and she gets in the ring, and she's going up against a woman who's 7 inches taller than her, and she is getting crushed. Each round, 3 rounds, 90 seconds. I thought she was going to, you know, break in half. Next thing you know, she starts channeling whatever energy that she had, and she is chasing this taller woman around the ring, and everybody's going nuts for Debbie, and I'm on the mic screaming, go Debbie. I was co-emceeing the event with Pat Tomasulo, your good friend.
Really?
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. It was really cool. And boxing up close, these people were, I mean, it mattered to those who were in the ring, right? Can you imagine, like, if we were fighting each other in the ring? You wouldn't want to lose.
See,
it's insane.
Forget Aubrey Mumpower. I think people need to spend a week with you and your life. Think about the week.
This was a good week.
Dancing competition, public tennis match.
Yeah, 5 foot, 50-year-old women getting into a boxing ring.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, your week took a sudden weird turn there, but
it was different this week.
Was there enough time for love?
There's always time for love, Harry. But no, I was living I live my solo life. That's what I do. It was me and Arnold the Duck all week long after all these events. It was great. Now I'm really feeling really awkward. Okay, so the race is going in 2 minutes, Harry.
I'm
prediction.
Excited. I'm
we're
excited.
We're gonna take a break, and you're gonna watch it. What's your prediction?
I think Always Dreaming comes right back. I think that Vinny Viola's happy. You know, the guy that owns the Florida Panthers owns this horse. So, I think it's great for horse racing if you have a horse that has a chance to win the Triple Crown. So that's why I'm cheering for him. And there doesn't seem to be a horse in this race that could, you know, really go get him. Adam points out that Classic Empire had a rough trip in the Run for the Roses. Accurate. I think Always Dreaming comes back and wins.
Hogue?
I'm going Classic Empire.
I like it.
Looking for a little bit of price there. It's a little bit better of price. I think just go with a nice win bet on Classic Empire.
I'm going to take Conquest Mo Money in a Perfecta box.
Perfecta box?
Can you do that?
A Perfecta box?
Perfecta, sure. Exacta, same thing.
Exacta box? Perfecta box?
Just do the you go for the Perfecta.
With over looking at Lee and Guinevere, the 10 over the 9 and the 6. Is that a legit bet?
Sure.
10 over the 9.
It's different than a box. Box means you want it both ways.
If that's a 1, 2, 3, that bet will win like $30,000.
Because the favorites aren't in it.
10, 9, 6. I don't like Classic Empire right now. I think Classic Empire got a lot of pub that was unwarranted for Classic Empire. And...
Mrs. Carm just making things up on the air.
Actually, I am right now making things up because I actually thought I meant to be talking about Always Dreaming because I did read about Always Dreaming. And what I read about Always Dreaming, and this is a true story, I know nothing, but it is also a true story. I don't think that Always Dreaming, from what I read, is a Triple Crown horse. So I think he's going down today, Harry.
I think, well, Belmont is going to be a lot of fresh horses, and that's a mile and a half. So I don't think Always Dreaming will win that race. But it'd be great for horse racing if he wins today, and I think he will win.
All right, I'm going Conquest Mo Money along with either Looking at Lee, and what else did I say? Oh, Guinevere, the 6. The 10 with the 9 or the 6?
$16,000 is what all that Guinevere cost.
That's amazing. Could have been us. We could have owned a horse.
I could not buy a horse for 16 grand.
With Harry's financing, you could.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Oh, my financing. I don't think we'd get to the sale.
We'll get Ernie involved. We'll get Dan Long involved. He's doing a great job producing the show. Brett Jackson's back in the studio. We'll put it together. We can get a horse for 16K. What do you got to put down?
I'm looking for the horse that's $16.
10% down, $1,600.
And then you just find a good trainer and turn it into...
Go to Water Tower Place.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can find a horse outside there. Well, $16.
Listen, you can do a GoFundMe for anything these days. We could go GoFundMe for the WGN Radio horse. People are doing GoFundMes for all sorts of things.
Yeah, but then it's like investors, and then you got to pay them off. No,
you don't. Just say, I want to own a horse. Will you help me?
Rhodes got the WGN horse. Rhodes got horses.
Yeah, but Rose not letting us in. We got to have our own horse. Okay, fine. It's not a
WGN
Radio. Can
we beat Rose horse?
I would love
one on one. That would be a WGN event.
Anything's possible.
Yes. Oh, and they would have like you and Carm in a suit, a horse suit, running against Rose horse,
or just Ro.
Now
we're talking about a race.
We're in uncomfortable territory right now. All right, quick timeout. I think the Preakness is about to go. If not, we're moving on regardless. We'll tell you who won, so don't go anywhere. 720 WGN. Today's WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour. We are live from RJ's Eatery in Lindenhurst, presented by Allstate agent, as you just heard again, Priscilla Callens. Ton of NBA news. Isaiah Thomas of the Boston Celtics Bulls fans, you remember him. He taunted you and looked a whole lot better than when Rajon Rondo was not on the court. He's done for the playoffs with a weird hip injury that he had tweaked back in March. LeBron James is going to play with one arm, and they're going to sweep the series.
Yeah, it's not even.
Is anyone watching?
Can you make one argument, Carm? And I don't even think you'll try how this is good for the NBA.
I mean, the finals are going to be great, and I
can't wait. But
the rest of it's bad. It's bad.
We could have played this. We could have said this in July.
Yeah,
and short of LeBron James getting hurt. This was going to be the finals the whole year. Everyone knew that.
Right. And I go back in the day, like, the Celtics and the Lakers played in the finals for the entire 80s, basically. But you always had a challenger coming up. At least you had the Pistons, and then...
What if instead of Leonard getting hurt, though, Curry had gotten hurt? Maybe it's San Antonio, not Golden State.
Maybe, but the Warriors are built in a way that I think that they could stomach it and still win... Still beat the Spurs, even without Curry. I mean, they do have Kevin Durant. They do have Klay Thompson. They're a different team than the Cavs. The Cavs, without LeBron, they're not winning.
Oh, right.
I mean, but, man, this is just... Do you wonder, I mean, could the Bulls have beaten the Wizards?
I don't think the Bulls could have beaten the Wizards, but I do believe Rajon Rondo when he says that he thinks the Bulls would have swept the Celtics if he had stayed healthy.
I don't think they would have swept, though. I think they could have won the series.
I think they probably win the series.
Yeah.
And then what they do against the Wizards, probably they lose, and I think Washington gives the Cavs a drop of a better match. But
no,
that's
I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
So this is just a nightmare for the Michael Jeffrey Jordan fans out there.
However, if you're watching the Stanley Cup playoffs, those are very exciting. Well, it's so much more exciting right now to watch the hockey playoffs than the basketball.
312-981-7200. I actually would love to hear from, is anyone actually watching the Stanley Cup playoffs with the Blackhawks out? Or is anybody even watching the NBA playoffs? Because I think, Harry, I mean...
I've been watching more... Hockey than basketball.
Have you been watching more hockey than basketball?
Because of, I mean, just the basketball playoffs right now aren't as entertaining. They aren't. It's the bottom line.
So, okay, but you're sitting there. Are you intrigued by the Pens and the Sens? Is that working for you?
I mean, it's not necessarily them that's intriguing me, But it's just an entertaining – it's still an entertaining series.
Right. We have a little bit of noise coming because the Preakness has just ended. It was not – call me –
Cloud Computing.
Cloud Computing over Classic Empire.
Yep.
I told – I want that on the record. I said Always Dreaming was overrated. Oh, the overrated Cloud Computing. I didn't have it right, but somebody was going to sneak in. Our 13-1 shot pulled it off.
Well, I'm not happy because he just beat my horse right at the last second.
Classic Empire.
Fantastic ride by Javier Castellano. I mean, he just got up in the final stride to win $1.5 million middle jewel of the Triple Crown.
And let me just throw another thing out there, by the way. This is a lesson for all of us out there. Always Dreaming, the story on Always Dreaming, super talented, but Always Dreaming doesn't always want to run. Always Dreaming was a little temperamental. Always Dreaming had to be put in the perfect circumstances to work hard.
Is this something you can relate to?
It is.
Why did you offer up all this information before the race?
I told you that I didn't like. I didn't give you all the details, but I told you I did not like Always Dreaming.
Did you think Always Dreaming lost in dance last Saturday?
I think that always. See, that's the thing. Always Dreaming probably wasn't focused on his dancing the way he should have been. You can see. That's the thing. You can't pick and choose when you're great. If you always want to be great, you have to be great at everything. You can't say, this is important, that's not important, I should do really good here, but I can't, but I shouldn't do well over there, because then it's going to seep into things that actually matters. And so clearly what happened with Always Dreaming today is that he probably sloughed off a couple workouts. And then, you know what?
Did he finish in dead last?
It's Preakness Day, and all of a sudden he just doesn't want to run.
That was only the fourth career start for Cloud Computing. He had a first, a second, and a third, and just like that, he is now...
Cloud Computing, Classic Empire, Senior Investment, and looking at Lee.
The voice of God, David Jennings, joining the program.
So...
be cool if he did that in the middle of the race.
No, but...
started calling the race.
Always dreaming. Just dreaming. Not running.
Jennings, what do you got on Javier Castellano, the jockey?
It's his second career Preakness win.
Very good, Jennings. Strong move by David. He's going to have the news in 4 minutes here.
Sources tell me that Richard Hogue hit the exacta.
Oh, that's impressive.
Richard Hogue hit the exacta? Congratulations. All right, we got a winner in the building here. RJ's Eatery. Drinks on Richard Hogue. Let's go. That's a big-time win.
Especially because it went the other way.
James, your grandpa just got paid.
It's going to be a huge payoff because there is no favorite. The 3-2 shot ran out, so he's going to get a nice little payoff there.
I should have just listened to your dad, and then I would have sounded like a genius.
We should have had him on as our horse racing guest.
Yeah. We'll have him on before the Belmont.
Okay.
Why was I talking to you two? I was.
Yeah, I don't know. What do we know?
I was propping you up, Harry.
I know. Big mistake.
And then Adam came storming in. I'm a horse racing guy.
Hey, my guy almost won, at least.
This is a big hit for horse racing.
Harry's guy came in dead last.
There's no such thing as a big hit for horse racing. Horse racing does not matter. No one cares.
Horse racing matters.
No, the loudest applause our show has gotten the entire time was when the race ended.
Yeah, because people won money.
People were paying attention.
For 5 seconds. No one ever talks about horse racing.
Mark, what happens here?
The race is 2 minutes.
What happens here is in just two minutes' time, Cloud Computing will make tons and tons of people remember his name.
No one's going to remember Cloud Computing's name other than Richard Hogue, who just won money on him. And no offense, Harry. Listen, I love tennis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get to talk about it on the radio very much. You know why? Because no one cares.
Well, if people would have sex more at tennis matches, we could talk about it.
Exactly right.
But an interview
but they
of
don't.
An interview of Cloud Computing himself is 10 times more interesting than an interview of Pete Sampras.
Rude. Rude. Inconsiderate. Please go to my On the Mark podcast and listen to my Andy Roddick interview, which has been viewed over 25,000 times, Harry. People are tuning in to Andy Roddick.
Andy Roddick's cool. How can McEnroe was there Wednesday night with you?
I love John McEnroe.
Why wasn't that place more crowded for a Johnny Mac?
I do have to say, though, I agree with Harry. If you got a horse to talk, that interview would get a lot more views.
Think
that could
of that.
Be big. That could be big. All right, let's hit the news on time. 1 hour to go out at RJ's Eatery. If you're in the neighborhood in Lindenhurst, we're off Grand Avenue. Come and see us, 720 WGN.
What? No, why?
Chicago sports spoken here.
What world of sports is going on here?
This is The Beat.
...720 WGN. Thanks for having us on this Saturday evening. We're at RJ's Eatery in Lindenhurst for one more hour.
Come stop by.
He's Adam Hoagie's, Harry Tynowitz. I'm Mark Carmen. Come on by. Right, the food's delicious. Drinks are good. Richard Hoag just got rich. He's buying drinks for everybody. That might not be true, but we can make it up.
That's awesome. $9,800 on an Exacta. Nice pickup for Adam's dad.
It's unbelievable. 10G, and we're almost 60% to that next horse, Herr Hoag.
That's right. We almost purchased it.
We were. Things happen quicker than you can realize in life. All of a sudden, you just come out to RJ's Eatery. The next thing you know, you got a horse. Mike has been waiting extremely patiently. He wants to talk about the White Sox. So let's do that right now on 720 WGN. Mike, thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, man.
Good afternoon, fellas. Good afternoon, everybody out there. I hope there's some White Sox fans out there in Lindenhurst.
Tons.
Ernie's here.
All right. Okay, that's good. Well, we got some happy news if you're a Sox fan. We got the top Cuban prospect. His name is Luis Robert. And we are so excited to have him aboard the White Sox team. I want your guys' thoughts about that.
Well, I think it's a tremendous fit. I think it for a team right now that seems to be – I mean, it's hard to complain about anything the White Sox have done since they decided to go this route. Really, the only negative has been that some of these other trade pieces on the Major League club this year haven't really been performing that well, like a Todd Frazier. But you can't control that. So where they're lacking right now is in position players for this rebuild, specifically outfielders. So you go out and you overspend for – and overspending means just for it being the international market, and you have to overspend for a 19-year-old who's never played, you know, any – professional baseball in America yet, and you hope it works out. But you know, the scouting reports all say he's probably going to be a really good player. There have been busts come over from Cuba. There's also been a lot of really good players, like Jose Abreu, obviously, and Yoan Moncada is certainly seems to be on a good track here.
Yeah, and you know, they got studs galore from the Red Sox, but they had to give up Chris Sale, arguably
right,
the best pitcher in baseball. They didn't have to give up one player today. That's why you got to love this if you're a Sox fan, because they bring in their center fielder of the future, and they don't give up one body to get him.
I'm always jealous when teams do what the White Sox did as a sitting from the Cub fan seat. I think it's great that Rick Renteria called, that Yoan Moncada called. Like, I think Renteria, I've never been a huge fan because he's just a little dull for me. But the fact that they were able to use him
You're
as a...
You're forgetting Mike Quadi?
I wasn't. Quadi wasn't exciting either. Listen, there's a long line of non-entertaining Cubs managers that we could pick out. Jim Essien jumps to the list too. But listen, I like the fact that they were real intentional about getting him and put their best foot forward and got it done. I think that's impressive.
They give up a lot, too. I mean, just in terms of money. We'll see what the actual numbers are coming out, but you're looking at like a signing bonus around $25 million, probably more than that. And you have to pay a tax on that, a dollar-for-dollar tax. So what you're really coming out of your pocket is double that money. This is what – like, I don't think anyone was upset in Boston that they got Chris Sale.
Right, right.
But they had paid Yoan Moncada like $63 million. Now, Moncada didn't get all that. Moncada gets half of that. But with the tax, they essentially paid $63 million for a guy that they just traded away to the White Sox. So, I mean, these international signings are expensive, and now you can't sign one for two years. I mean, that's the penalty. So the White Sox obviously identified Luis Robert as their guy at a position they absolutely positively needed to address. He's going to probably, I would assume, go down to single A, maybe even low A,
yeah,
and start from there. And you hope he dominates each level and meets Moncada, you know, in a couple years.
And the proof's going to be in the pudding, whether Rick Hahn can evaluate talent or not. Pudding is delicious. I mean, listen, you look at Lucas Giolito. Now, granted, you only gave up Adam Eaton, but he's struggling. And
I think the White Sox, as we've kind of seen the situation play out, I think they knew when they acquired Lucas Giolito that they were going to kind of have to rebuild his delivery. I think they understood that he was a project. And when I sat down with Rick Hahn in Arizona in March, I mean, he basically said Reynaldo Lopez was just as big of a reason why they pulled that deal. Giolito was the one that was given all the attention nationally in all these publications. But from their standpoint, they like Reynaldo Lopez. And who was the other guy that came? Was Dane Dunning in that? I forget which one. He was in that one.
Yes.
I get the two trades confused. Dane Dunning was in that in the Nationals trade too. So those were just as big a pieces. And they realized that, okay, Giolito's going to have to go to AAA, kind of rebuild his delivery and work it back up. And they still think they can salvage him. But, yeah, there's no question that he's a question mark right now.
I mean, he's there right now. He's 1-5 with an ERA of 6.41. And in 39 and a third innings, he's given up 42 hits. He's getting smoked. So,
but it's improving, Carm, and
it is. Okay,
look at the game logs.
Okay,
and they kind of, as that was all unfolding and he was getting pounded, he was doing interviews basically saying, "Look, we kind of knew this was going to be part of the process."
Okay.
This is such a major move for the White Sox. This is high five, knuckle punch, tassel the hair, pat on the fanny. This is a great move for the White Sox. They're all in.
I remember when they had the slogan "All In" that one year. I think they were all out.
How are you defining "All In" exactly? What is that?
I'm saying they didn't have to write this check. They could have let the Cardinals. By the way, Cardinals blew a lead last night in the ninth inning. It was awesome. Giants came back and won. Fowler had a three-run homer.
By the way, my sources told me that Luis Robert picked the White Sox over the Cardinals because Chris Ronji moved to St. Louis.
That sounds like a very good source.
Yeah.
Explains a lot.
Chris Ronji was on this program. He said adamantly that he doesn't hate the Cubs. I still don't.
You called Rod on it right away. That's how you started the interview.
I'm like, how much do you hate the Cubs now that you can say it? Because he used to be able to not say it, working for the White Sox station. Now he's in St. Louis. I figured Ronji would come clean, but Ronji wasn't willing to go there, which is a professional move by Ronji.
Professional Ronji.
Which is probably why he's having a great run in this profession.
Mm-hmm. He's the Ranger.
I could learn something from Ronji. These things happen. All right. Well, When
starting interviews with our baseball expert of the show, talking about the weather instead of the biggest story of the day.
The weather was a huge story today. The Cubs bonged a game.
Oh, no, the Cubs game got rained out. What a disaster.
They bonged a game today when it didn't rain.
Oh, no. You're right. That's a bigger story than signing the center fielder of the future.
Yeah, but nobody knows anything about this guy.
I mean, you could make an
no
argument.
No one knows who Luis Robert is. Except Luis Robert barely knows who Luis Robert is.
This has been a huge story for like 2 months now.
Yeah, I understand that, but like, come on, he's 19 years old. He's playing Cuba. No one's seen him play. Sully hasn't seen Luis Robert play.
Don't you wish Reinsdorf had taken this tack with his basketball team? To go young? To not get get Wade, not get Rondo?
Good luck with that.
Speaking of that, let's do one quick timeout and come back. I talked to Kenny Smith, NBA on TNT.
Mm-hmm.
He has...
Is he here? Is he at RJ's Eatery?
He's not at RJ's Eatery, but we're going to hear from him coming back. He has thoughts on...
There probably is somebody here named Kenny Smith, though.
He's got thoughts on... That's true, too. It's a very popular name. He's got thoughts on Michael versus LeBron. He's got thoughts on what the Celtics should do with that number one overall pick that involved Jimmy Butler. And he's got thoughts on... He's going to tell you how Gone Fishing got created. Do you know the answer to that, Harry?
I don't. Will he talk about Luis Robert?
He will not talk about Luis Robert.
What about the weather at Wrigley Field?
He won't talk about how the game got bonged today for no reason. Good friend Taylor Land was in town, had his girlfriend here. Their hearts were set on spending a Saturday at Wrigley. He's texting me, are they going to call the game? I'm looking at the weather forecast. I'm saying, no way, there's a nice window in there. And the window actually didn't turn out to be a window. It turned out to be the whole day. Or the whole afternoon. No offense to the... Hey, listen, I get it. The bullpen was taxed and you needed to have a day off for everybody.
That conspiracy theory needs to take a walk.
Does it?
Yes. By the way, speaking of
friends...
I think
it's a brilliant move.
I met a friend.
If Taylor Land wasn't here, I wouldn't care at all. I think it's great.
I met a friend of yours, by the way.
Oh, yeah, Brian.
Ties in with
basketball. That's another thing. One of my other buddies bought your Cubs tickets today. Gave you all this dough to go to the Cub game today. He had people in town. What did he have to do today? That guy had to go out, plan B.
I assume that he just hung out because, you know, people with personalities can just hang out. They don't need to be, entertained by a baseball team.
I mean, that decision impacted people's lives. We're in the business of saving lives. Name the movie.
That is...
Draft Day.
Batman.
I was going with a few good men out of nowhere. We're in the business of saving lives.
You do know I just threw out like the most ridiculous movie name on purpose.
And I threw out the original Batman with Adam West from 1966.
I was only focused on the fact that you didn't get it. Colonel Markinson.
I was drinking before that movie.
Do you know that if both NBA series end in a sweep?
Yeah, they still sit
gonna
for
be
nine
eight,
days.
8 days off in between games. Yeah. Great job, NBA.
Well, you can't.
So not only do you have a snoozer of your conference finals, but then you're going to have nothing for eight straight days.
Wouldn't they get better ratings if they just showed, like, Bulls Pistons or Bulls Lakers?
Take it easy on my NBA.
Carmen watch.
Great NBA. All right. Kenny Smith coming on back here. And then, perhaps even more importantly, at 6:35, it's Harry's game. It's a new one. It promises to be at least minorly okay. Perhaps outstanding.
I have to yell at Don Mattingly, too, before we get out of here.
That's nice. It. All right. 720 WGN. Reminds me, May 20th, happy birthday to my brother, Bruce Carmen.
Bruce.
Still ripping softballs all over the place. Great tennis player. Phenomenal dad. Husband, brother, all that. Happy birthday to the Brew. Get that out there. Happy birthday to you, too.
Do you call him the Brew?
Every now and then, maybe throw out a brew or a brewski. Broski, 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 that type of thing. Is that weird?
Yes.
Harry, you support that?
Is his favorite team the Brewers?
No, he's a Cubby. He's a Cubby. More of a big Bulls fan, imagine that. I don't know how that goes up. That's a Carmen family trait. We love basketball in the NBA.
Doesn't sound like you at all.
No, I didn't. You know, he's 15 years older than me, so I perhaps some of my Bulls love was taught by Brew. True story. Oh, Dan wants a mention. Got you, Dan. The WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour. We are live.
He just wanted you to mention him. That's all.
Dan Long's doing a great job producing. We're live from RJ's Eatery in Lindenhurst, presented by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands. Been having a great time out here today. We're going to, there it is. Going to play a little game at 6:30. We got one contestant, room for one more. If you're in the building, come on over, see Dan Long. Kenny Smith. Do you like the Jet?
I do.
You a Jet fan?
Love the Jet.
Okay.
Not the Jets.
No.
Just the Jet.
Who does the Jet think? These my questions aren't included in here, but I'm asking you the question. Who do you think the Jet says is better, Michael or LeBron?
Michael, because they both went to Carolina.
Yeah.
He's gonna go Michael on that one.
Yeah. So here we go. Here is Kenny on what's going on with LeBron and how LeBron can be better than Mike. I'm kind of fighting people off right now about LeBron versus Mike, and I would make the argument one way is like, look, Mike was the better scorer, Mike was the better defender. Mike, you could almost make the argument once he stepped into the league, he pretty much was the best player in the league. Maybe not his rookie year, but he was right there. I mean, it's like the water faucet turned on, it didn't turn off until he retired. Where are you on the LeBron Michael argument?
Well, you know, I probably bias, obviously, being a North Carolina graduate. Being someone who played with him. But overall, you know, six championships. You know, not three, not two, not four, six. So until you're in that conversation of six, yeah, you're on your way possibly, but until you're in that conversation of six and take a year off to play baseball, then you can talk to me about who's better. You know, because where I've come from is, they don't ask you how many points you score or how many All-Star games you win or MVPs. They say, did you win?
So there's Kenny on Mike. Thoughts?
First of all, my thought is you talked to Drew Brees and Kenny Smith this week.
Great week.
I thought, yes. We just like detailed how horrible your week was, and it was really not that bad.
No, it was a great week. Yeah. I just didn't win when I was competing.
Hit me with the water faucet analogy again.
Yeah.
Well, Michael, to me, you just turned on the faucet. And he just scored. Like, the water was always flowing. It was always on. LeBron's career, he's had huge missteps. 2011, he's guarded in the finals by J.J. Barea.
What'd he do?
He put up an 8-point game, and they end up losing to the Mavericks. He lost to the Spurs. He should have lost again. He missed huge threes down the stretch and got bailed out by Ray Allen. Now, the guy right now, the basketball he's playing right now, if he did that for his whole career, okay, then you got a real argument on Mike. I mean, he's playing insane basketball right now. I props to him. He's won, 13 games in a row now? How many in a row is it? 4-4-2. That's 10, 13 in a row. They were down 3-1 in the finals last year.
Yeah.
You're good at math. Did you go to Iowa?
Thank you, Harry. So it's ridiculous what he's doing right now. But you can't just boil his career down into this particular stretch and say he's better than Mike. It's ridiculous.
Michael Jeffrey Jordan was LeBron's great. LeBron's greatest player right now, and he took down the Warriors last year. You know, yes, Kyrie's awesome. Kyrie's incredible. But Michael Jordan was a better player. He was a better defender, and he didn't have the height, the size LeBron had, but he was a better defender. He would get tons of steals.
But people say the height and the size are reasons to argue for him, right? That's the biggest reason. He's bigger. He's stronger. He can physically impose his will. I mean, it's a big factor.
But in some ways, I end up giving Michael more credit.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have that size.
I mean, you can if you're
pure
the
skill. I get it.
Yeah.
If you're Tyronn Lue, you could put LeBron on a point guard at the end of the game. That's pretty cool to have a guy that size be able to cover a point guard. But Michael, go look at the steals. Michael would always steal things. I'm surprised he didn't spend any time in jail.
It's true. 6 times over 200 steals. Should have been sent to jail. You're absolutely right. So what do you think that Kenny thinks?
And isn't LeBron zero?
LeBron is zero. 2 times over 100 blocks, LeBron is zero. Because Michael was a lunatic. Because Michael played with enormous energy all the time. And LeBron, I think there's just been a pretty big learning curve. Coming out of straight out of high school, didn't have Dean Smith, whatever you want to put on it, didn't have the background of a James and Dolores Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
So
Michael never lost an NBA Finals he was in.
Ernie loves that I just dropped James and Dolores out of nowhere, but I want to give props to James and Dolores. It all matters. So
I think the greatest indication that Michael was a freak when it came to basketball was that for his Hall of Fame. He flew in the guy that beat him out of the last spot of the high school basketball team. Let it go.
Here's Leroy Smith at the Hall of Fame thing, so we can taunt Leroy Smith. Here,
wait, you know the guy's name?
Who doesn't know Leroy Smith's name? Come on. Leroy Smith, household.
If you think Michael Jordan was like a lunatic as a player, Mark Carmen is the Michael Jordan fan.
It's
lunatic. Talk about going to jail.
This is a hard
restraining order.
This is a hard time for me. Can we hear it later real quick? This is what Kenny Smith thinks the Boston Celtics should do with the number one overall pick, which apparently they're not going to do, with my question. You're the Boston Celtics. You're in the Eastern Conference Finals. You have a ton of value in that number one pick. Are you keeping the pick if you're Kenny Smith, or are you going to trade it for, say, Paul George or Jimmy Butler and maybe a little bit more since you have that number one pick?
Well, if you said those guys, if they're available, without question, I'm going to entertain that for sure because – you know, isn't the goal that your number one pick plays like those two guys? So why would you have those two guys? You know, so for me, it really would depend on if those two guys are really available. Because everyone says people are available until there's an offer actually made.
Here's my question to you, Carl. Isaiah Thomas is healthy. The Celtics have Jimmy Butler.
Right.
Does the series change?
Changes, but
Butler guards LeBron,
right,
and is an upgrade,
right.
But are they really still? I mean, does that change it to the point where they go losing games by 30 to winning a series? I mean, I find that hard to believe.
Huge leap. I agree with you.
And so my opinion on this from the Boston side: draft the guy, draft the player with a number one, and that guy's probably gonna need 3 years to develop anyway. I mean, in the NBA, that's what it takes. You don't just come in dominating and. LeBron's not going anywhere. So I'd rather have the younger guy that maybe even has higher upside because it's number one overall pick, and it might take a few years because you're not winning anyway right now.
Right, but okay, let's play that out. You've got Isaiah Thomas, who's 28 years old. He signed for next year, and he's a little guy. Those guys do fall off pretty quickly. That's your best player. So, I mean, I don't think you can look at it like in 3 years you're going to me, Boston almost has to go now.
But they're not going to win.
The window's closing.
I think they have like a 2-year window where they can do it, have a shot at it at least. I think you got to sign Gordon Hayward, and I think you got to trade for Jimmy.
I think they will sign Gordon Hayward, and of course, basketball fans remember that Hayward played for Brad Stevens at Butler. So I think that is going to be like a huge advantage to getting him there.
Like if you can get Gordon Hayward, then I think you trade for Jimmy.
Okay, Hayward, Jimmy, healthy Isaiah,
Horford, Crowder.
Are they winning that series? They're in it.
They're in the series.
They're in the series.
They're the second best team in the Eastern
Conference. But then you win that series. Are you beating Golden State?
Well, but that's fine. But you got.
And I realize it sounds like a defeatist attitude, but use the number one pick, and you got more time here. But you're saying the window closes anyway.
I just think they're in a tough spot. I think you got a very good team. You're on the verge. I don't waiting 3 years for LeBron to go away. That doesn't. I too much risk there.
Every team's in a tough spot. That's why it's right. Bad for basketball right now.
Largest halftime deficit ever of it was a ugly. Conference playoff game last night.
It was super ugly. All right, we need to take a quick timeout. Get into news. 720 WGN. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. People have been lining up outside of RJ's Eatery in Lindenhurst. WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, presented by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands. They've all been dying to get into Harry's game. Or we had to just go beg two people to come over here and Claude and Tom. You can decide.
One of the two.
This is going to be great. All right, so Mark Carmen, Adam Hogue, they're each getting a listener that is here at RJ's Eatery in Lindenhurst. Carm, you'll be playing with Tom.
No, I'm playing with Claude.
Tom, where are you from?
I'm playing with the Cub fan.
Tom, where are you from? Use the mic.
Use the mic.
You've got a mic in your hand.
Oh, after talking to this. Yeah. Oh, yes. I'm from Antioch.
And what do you do, sir?
I own a glass company.
Nice. You guys need glass?
I do.
And Adam's
not right now. Maybe tomorrow.
All right, and Claude, you'll be playing with Adam Ho. Claude, where are you from?
I live in Lake Villa and in Antioch.
You got a big house.
half the year in Antioch, Lake Villa the rest of the time.
Okay, what do you do, sir?
I own a janitorial and maintenance company.
Wow.
Wow, nice. Could you send someone out to my car after the show is done? I need some help.
If you see my car, you wouldn't want me to do your car.
Okay, here's the way the game works. It's going to be Carm and Tom against Adam and Claude.
Tom, we're winning this.
Sorry.
You're already apologizing?
I am. He's wearing a Cub shirt and a Cub watch.
Tom, last week I played with somebody who had absolutely no chance at anything. I have high expectations for you. You can do this. It's me and you, Tom.
Is that the second time in the show he's just throwing his partner under the bus?
Second time.
Last week's partner was brutal.
What do you think he's going to say about us once the show's
done? I don't know.
I speak the truth. She was terrible.
All right, so guys, here's the way this plays. You're each going to get asked one question at a time. The other team cannot interrupt when you're getting your question. And because we're at RJ's Eatery, we are playing the RJ game.
Oh, my God, it's the RJ game.
Every answer, the person has the initial R or the initial J in their name. So remember that when you're answering the question.
Could be first or last name, Harry?
No, I'm saying not the initial. I'm not saying the name starts with an R or a J. I'm saying, like, who guarded.
Like, Arby's could be in there?
No. Who guarded LeBron and held him to 8 points for Dallas Mavericks?
That would be J.J. Barea.
Right. So that would be, he could be an answer. J.J.
J.J. Okay. I got you.
All right. So here we go. So it's Adam and. Adam, you got it?
Very confusing game.
I don't think so, but we'll roll with it.
All right. It's not that tough. All right, so Adam and Claude going first here. All right. The questions start out fairly easy. This USC tailback won the Heisman Trophy in 1968. This USC tailback won the Heisman Trophy in 1968.
Okay.
And, of course, you guys can discuss it with each other.
I know it. You know it?
Claude?
The answer is
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson is correct.
The juice.
So it's just one of the initial.
Set him free.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
there's the J.
At least one.
I'm kidding.
Yes, at least one initial will be R or J.
God, all right, this is for
Carm and Tom.
Yes.
This point guard won the NBA championship in 91, 92, 93.
This point guard?
Yes.
You got it, Tom? I got it if you don't.
Wait.
He was a Chicago Bull.
Well, I know that.
He was.
He wore number 5. He went to Notre Dame.
Uh-oh.
Wait. No, you better give it.
It's the RJ game.
It's John Paxson.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe Carm just got that wrong.
What did you just say?
The show is over.
You said the point guard for the 91-92-93 Bulls.
I said this point guard won the NBA championship.
Say, well, okay. That's a
it's
J?
The RJ game. B.J. Armstrong.
J. John Paxson.
I said it's not. It's the initial. It's the initial.
You. Oh, that was not. Okay.
Carm just lost all Bulls credibility he's ever built up.
It's got to be. Oh, it's
a very confusing game.
And then it's not really.
Forget the initials. The answer is B.J. Armstrong. Well, the point guard.
There's two point guards. The other one's got a J.
I'm raising my hand.
Yes.
Now if you were to ask who killed Lincoln and we say John Wilkes Booth, that's wrong.
That's wrong.
Well, because it would have to be a John W. Booth.
Right. He's not known as John W.
All right, fine.
Booth.
I got it wrong. I didn't understand the
this
details of Harry's
game. This is a very
Harry's
confusing game.
Ernie was with
really.
Me, too, by the way.
You
said the point guard of the Bulls is Pax, but okay, B.J.
This
Armstrong.
Point guard. All right, this is for Adam and Claude up 1-0.
This game's being played under protest.
Yeah, I was an ass.
She wrote the Harry Potter books. She wrote the Harry
Potter. J.K. Rowling.
Yep. J.K. Rowling is correct.
I'm impressed.
Nice job.
Game's under protest.
It's 2-0. Here's a chance for you
to
cut the lead
one,
in half.
My wife is a big reader.
Go ahead.
Okay, cut the lead in half.
Tom, I need
Tom.
You here. I'm nervous.
This actor played Marty McFly 3 times.
I got that one.
Yeah, what do you got?
Michael J. Fox.
Correct. Bennett, just
Bennett.
Like that, it's
yeah,
2-1.
Yeah, Tom, that's what I'm talking about.
All right, back to Adam and Claude.
Should be tied. James under protest.
This Athens, Georgia band had hits with Losing My Religion, Stand, and Everybody Hurts.
In the place where you were.
This Athens, Georgia band had hits with Losing My Religion, Stand, and Everybody Hurts.
R.E.M.
R.E.M. is correct. It's 3-1. All right, back to Carm.
I have
Tom.
To admit, though, I'm still a little confused about the abbreviations.
Yeah, you looked all confused.
Well, I'm like, because that had 3 letters.
Yeah,
see, one of them was an R, so I went with it.
It's
got to have an R or a J. John Paxson.
That's right.
Okay.
The initial.
The initial. One letter.
I don't know what.
The game's under protest. Go ahead. What do we got?
We can go back. I'm sure Brett Jackson back in the studio could go back and pull the short explanation.
I bet he would love to.
Okay.
That guy hates
me. Carm and Tom. This Chicago rhythm and blues and rap superstar won 3 Grammys for I Believe I Can Fly.
I believe
other
I can
big
fly.
Hits were Bump and Grind.
You got
and
it?
Your body's
I know
R. Kelly.
Bang.
R. Kelly is correct.
Don't I look like I know rhythm and blues?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Just joining us, it's The Beat. Mark Carmen, Adam Hogue, I'm Harry. We're playing
a very
the
confusing
RJ
game that I'm winning.
No. RJ's right. Eatery, you know that we know the rhythm and blues out here.
All right. Adam and Claude. This Chicago Bears defensive back who wore number 21 for the Bears from 2000 to 2004.
I already know it.
He won Super Bowl 42 with the New York Giants. He had a big interception against the Cowboys in the first round of the playoffs that
really?
Season. He did. So this guy was number 21 for the Bears from 2000 to 2004, playing defensive back. He went to the Giants, had a big interception against the Cowboys in the first playoff game, and won Super Bowl 42 with the New York Giants.
Jay Paxson.
I feel like I'm a little too early on this, but my answer is going to be R.W. McCorders.
R.W. McCorders is correct.
Yes.
Wow. Did you know that?
Look at that. Flawless. All right, Carm and Tom, a chance to stay back only by 1 point.
Protest.
He was the head of the FBI, and he loved to wear dresses.
J. Edgar Hoover.
Bang.
Yes, you are correct. 4-3.
Is there something wrong with that?
No, not at all.
He was ahead of his time.
Yes, he was. And you got a basic black picked out for later tonight? It is Saturday, Tom.
Exactly.
All right. Adam and Claude, this Green Bay Packers defensive tackle intercepted Caleb Haney in the fourth quarter of the 2011.
Got it. And
yes.
Quit giving Pogue the Bears questions.
You got it?
No, you go right
B.J.
ahead.
Raji.
B.J. Raji is correct. All right, chance to stay within one. I gave you a Bulls question.
Did you know that answer, though, Carm?
I wouldn't have gotten it.
Yeah.
I might have 13% chance I would have maybe gotten there.
John Paxson.
All right, this is for
Jay
Carm.
Paxson.
Carm and Tom, this question is
for
you.
We're under protest still.
This, you can be if you want to be. The commissioner will look at it later. This Big Ten linebacker was the Pittsburgh Steelers' first-round draft pick this year. They're hoping he'll be as good as his brother.
Ooh, okay.
Whoa.
Okay, so it's Jay Watt.
Judges? Is that your final answer? There's another initial you're missing.
J.J. Watt.
Junior. No, we're looking for the one who was drafted.
J.J. Watt Jr. Kid's already in the draft.
We're looking for the little brother's name. Have you got that?
The little brother to J.J. Watt.
Right, who was taken in the first round by the Steelers.
I think it's like R.J. Watt.
R. Watt.
J.R. Watt. J.R. Watt. No, hold on.
Come on, how many guesses does he get? He's just going to go through the alphabet.
I need an answer.
A.J. Watt, B.J. Watt, C.J. Watt, D.J. Watt.
What's that guy's name? Is it he's a Watt
give
with a J.
Give us an answer. Tell him who it was.
Do I get the steal?
No, our Watt.
You can tell him who it was.
T.J. Watt.
T.J. Watt.
T.J. Watt.
All right, 5-3. Here we go. Question J six. Right. Guys, we're looking for the actor's Watt. Name here. This is for Claude and Adam. He won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor in the movie Whiplash. He was also the club owner in La La Land and plays Dr. Emil Skoda on Law & Order. Won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor for Whiplash. Also the club owner in La La Land, and he played Dr. Emil Skoda on Law & Order. Who's the actor?
Yeah, I have not seen Whiplash.
Neither have I.
Jay Paxson.
J.R. Watts.
T.J.
Guys, the answer?
I got nothing.
Can we steal to
I
get in
nothing.
There? Not that I know the answer, so that would be irrelevant.
I don't
Continue
know.
On, Harry. What's
the J.K.
answer?
Simmons. J.K. Simmons.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That was Whiplash. My second answer.
All right, guys, chance to cut into that lead.
Is this the last question?
No, it's not. You got a chance to win.
Okay.
We're wrapping it up. We're getting close to the finish, Carl.
Okay, I'm getting fatigued.
He co-created, it's not sex, he co-created the TV shows Lost, Felicity, and Alias. He is the executive producer of the TV show Westworld. He directed Star Wars... The Force Awakens and Star Wars The Last Jedi.
J.J.
Well, you just had to get the initials. When we got Watts, you said you had to get the...
Come on.
J.J. Rowlings, is it?
No.
Good Lord. J.J. Abrams.
Correct.
Yeah, as you looked at the person who yelled it out from the crowd.
Thank you in the red coat. I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear a word. I mean,
if you're going to get the answer from somebody, don't directly look at them as you're saying it.
I openly am willing to cheat at all Harry's games.
All right. Come on out.
Crowd assistance.
Hey, we can't control the crowd if they yell out stuff to us.
Right. I was.
If they want us to win.
I was only digesting what was going on in RJ's eatery.
Two questions left for both of you, so.
Are we tied right now?
No, you're down by one. You're down by one.
In 10 minutes, just to let you know.
Wait, how are
Adam and Claude, he's a four-time winner of the Indianapolis 500. The only driver to win the Indy 500.
A.J. Foyt.
A.J. Foyt is correct.
Wow, yes. Way to go, Claude. Bang.
I have no idea who that is.
You never heard of A.J. Foyt?
A.J. Foyt's a monster.
Monster. All right, Carm.
Great on a left turn.
Carm and Tom, you need this to stay in the game. He is the NBA coach who Latrell Sprewell tried to choke to
death. P.J. Carlissimo.
All right, this is it for the game. You're up one. Last question. This band had monster hits with Freeze Frame and Centerfold.
Oh.
Nobody answer. Claude. Hey.
Jay Giles Band.
Oh.
We cheated.
Hey, we get one.
We cheated, they cheated,
okay,
everybody cheated.
Congratulations, Claude and Adam,
yes.
You won the RJ game.
Yeah. Good job, Claude. Congratulations.
Well, thank my wife.
Tom, it was fun playing with you. You're a leader and a scholar and a champion. We gotta
thanks to both of you guys.
Great job, Harry. Great job, Adam.
Nice job, bud.
Nice job, Carm. Yeah. I liked how the wives contributed to that. I mean, at least they were the ones that were yelling out the answers. You know, you get a lifeline.
It's a spirited finish. I've never seen people run away from us quicker than this. They're all gone.
They're like...
I didn't realize that was the wife.
That was it.
I thought that was the girlfriend.
All right,
Friday night was for wives.
Casino.
Now they're running you.
Good fellas. Okay. We have one more segment. I'm going to play a song coming back. That will signal what I'm doing tonight, and I want to know if you guys approve. That's a great tease, isn't it? Strong? Song coming back?
I'm teased.
720 WGN.
I left you by the house of fun. I don't know why I didn't come.
That's right, baby.
Don't know
Norah Jones.
I didn't
the
come.
Chicago Theater.
Tonight?
Tonight.
It's going to be great.
You better hurry up.
Doors at 7. Opener at 8. Norah at 9.
You know it's 7.
Yes. Well, she's going out at 9. I
got okay. You got time.
You got an opener at 8. I'll get there about 8:30. All set. All good. I didn't think I was going to get this much approval. You guys like Nora Jones.
Nora Jones is cool, man.
Who are you going
great.
With?
I'm going with a certain special someone.
Yeah?
Yes, it's
going
to be a
He's
lovely.
He's going with John Paxson.
John Paxson? And the duck?
Okay. I'm bringing...
Is your duck coming?
The duck is will be there in spirit. The duck is actually resting comfortably. Whoa, what's going on in here? Steve, little smoking situation.
I think some fajitas just ran by us.
Oh, okay, those good-looking fajitas. I thought something else was happening.
The waitress is smoking.
No, that too. Okay, well, hey, thank you to everybody here at the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour live from RJ's Eatery in Lindenhurst. We were presented all day by Allstate Chicago's own Good Hands. This is great out here, right? We had a great time. I had a great time.
It's a great place.
It's fantastic. What a great way to spend some time.
I live just down the block, so I'm going to have to come back.
I'm going to come on a nice sunny day with you, Ho. We'll play some volleyball on the deck, get James out here, who's been the most popular person here. I think Marlene Wells is going to kidnap your kid at some point, so
probably.
Pay attention to that.
If he ever disappears, that's the first person I'm going to.
And thanks again to Priscilla Callens from Allstate, and she's asking if you have a few bucks, go help out Helping Hands in the Community. Okay, Open Arms Mission is the charity she'd like you to support. Open Arms Mission.
Thanks to Ernie Sked for engineering out here. Thanks to Dan Long for producing. Thanks to Brett Jackson, who I know deep down does love me back at WGN Radio. And also to Sonia Tompkins, who did a great job back at WGN as well. And come on, Chicago, let's make a garden. Make it more colorful, more fragrant. Fragrant, thank you. With more blooms, but with less work when you use proven winners. Flowering shrubs like hardy hydrangeas?
Yeah. Hydrangeas.
Hydrangeas? That was close. It was in there. Rugged roses and reblooming lilacs. Thank you. Your garden will be beautiful all season long, year after year. How do you know the proven winners? You go to Garden Center and ask for proven winners. They're in the distinct white proven winners containers. It's that easy. Proven winners, flowering shrubs.
Claude and I are proven winners.
You are proven winners. Congratulations. Hey, one final timeout, Amy Guth coming right up. A lot of fun out here today, 720 WGN.